David Meltzer, welcome to Inner Voice of Knowing.
Oh, I appreciate it so much. I'm in a mission to empower over a billion people with a B, to be happy, to make a lot of money for the sake of helping a lot of people, and of course, having fun.
Yes, because your statement is making lots of money, helping lots of people, and having a lot of fun. David, people that know of you will know and will know your background, but there was, correct me if I'm wrong, $100 million loss,
Yes.
and I don't so much, it's not so much about $100 million, although someone sitting there would be going, seriously, how do you deal with that? But my question is, clearly that's an opportunity for changing your life, but what was the actual pivoting moment that made you question and reflect and go, it's actually spiritual principles that you need to bring into your business? Because clearly you can stand back up, dust yourself off, and make more millions. That doesn't seem to be the issue for you, but there must be a particular moment that's like, I must draw on my spiritual principles and bring it into business.
You know, it was 2 years before I lost everything that I started my quantum shift, with three red flags in my life. And the third one was the catalytic moment that created the divine detour, that then resulted in the power to recover from losing over $100 million, including, by the way, my mom's house, which was the
Right.
only reason I wanted to be rich, was to buy my mom a house. I still get choked up thinking about it.
Yeah.
But the first was when I was 30 years old, living my dream life, married to my dream girl from the fourth grade, living in my dream house in Rancho Santa Fe, literally on top of the world. And my father, who was estranged from me when I was five, he left my mom single with six kids to work two jobs, filling up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards after she taught second grade and packed our dinner in a paper bag and drove us around to do so. My dad returns when I'm 30 and gives me a gift. He gives me a jacket, and I put it on and I start to cry because it fit me perfectly. And my wife's like, "Why are you crying?" I said, "My dad gets it. We're finally going to have a relationship. He took the time to send me a birthday present after 20 years, and it fits me, which means, I'm not the most normal sized person. I'm like short legs and a long body. He had to ask someone what size at least. And I look inside to see if he has a message, like especially made for my son's birthday or Armani or who knew, but he had torn out all the interior of this jacket. And I immediately went from joy to rage. And I called him up immediately and I'm like, "Dad, I got your birthday present." He said, "Oh, thank goodness. How do you like it?" I'm gonna like it. "I can't wear it. Why would you give me a jacket I can't wear? You tore out all the pockets." "Oh, I know, it's not for wearing." Like, why would you give me a jacket after 20 years, no birthday gifts, and the first one is something I can't hear? What is this about?" He said, "Well, son, first of all, I'm worried about you." "You're worried about me? You're worried about me?" "Yeah, I'm worried about you. Money doesn't just buy you love and happiness. You're just like me." I'm like, "I'm just like you. Yes, that's why I gave you a jacket with no pockets to hang in your closet, to remind you every day you can't take anything with you when you're gone. You're just like me." And I was not ready to hear it. And I told him, "I hate you. You are a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, overseller, back-end seller. I'm nothing like you." And I hung up on him. 6 years later, I'm now running the most notable sports agency in the world. Dad made that movie, Jerry Maguire, about our firm. So not only do I have over $100 million, but I had access to what billionaires couldn't afford to do. The backstages at the award shows and the sidelines at the games and, the cabins at the Masters. And I went to my best friend who actually asked my wife at sixth grade camp for me. This is how close we were. He asked my wife at sixth grade camp to go steady with me. And she said no. She said no. Tell him to ask me himself. And he made fun of me, so she embarrassed me. So I threw an egg at her. So that cost me about. It cost me
As
about
kids do.
14 years. 14 years of apologizing before she would go out with me. That one incident. Anyway, I tell my friend Rob, who's been a lifetime friend, "I want to take you to the Masters." He's a huge golf fan. "I want to pay We're going to go to the NetJet party, private jet with these famous athletes, and back to the cabins with Curtis Strange. And he looks at me and he says, I don't want to go. I said, Rob, what are you talking about? You won't want to go. He said, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like who you hang out with, and I don't want to hang out with you anymore. I'm worried about you. You're going to die. I said, oh, Rob, I'm not doing what the other guys are doing. Don't worry about me. He said, Dave, you can lie to me, but don't lie to yourself.
Denial.
And I said to him, F you, Rob. You're not my friend. How dare you? I'm trying to give you the gift of a lifetime, and this is how you treat me after 28 years of friendship. And he walked away, and I cried. And 2 weeks later, my life would change forever. I told my wife I was going to go to the Grammy Awards with one of my clients, Little John, the rapper.
Yeah.
And she said, I really don't want you to go. You're not paying attention to the family, to your health, you're partying, you're not paying attention to your business. You really need to calm down and stay home. I'm worried about you. So I lied to her, told her I had a meeting. I went to the Grammy Awards, came home 5:30 in the morning, wasted out of my mind. And there she was waiting for me to tell me she was leaving me. She wasn't happy. Told me I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. I told her to F off. I remember spinning around in circles saying, who do you think did all this? How dare you talk to me this way? You want to leave me? F you. I'm going to leave you. And I went to bed and I woke up in the morning full of hate. I hated my mom, my dad, my best friend, and my wife. And there I sat on my bed so full of hate. How was I going to take all their money? How was I going to take their happiness? And I looked over, and for the first time in 6 years, all I saw was that jacket. And I broke down, saw that jacket. And I said to myself, I don't hate my mom and my dad. Don't hate my best friend, and I certainly don't hate my wife. I hate myself. I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. I'm a manipulator, overseller, back-end seller, and I hate myself. And I sat there taking stock in who I was. And I created values to live by, and then they formed behaviors or practices, and they formed execution models. And over all these years, when I lost everything, the thing that scared my wife the most, because she did stay with me, this thing that scared my wife the most when I lost everything was I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried because I was in the divine direction. This was just protecting, promoting, loving, and perfecting me. It was accelerating and aggregating and compounding the future, the outcomes that I had put the work in to do. And here I am 18 years later, making more money than I ever have, helping more people than I ever dreamed of, and having more fun than I've ever imagined. And it was that day that my wife told me to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become that changed my life.
Such a powerful story, David. And even, you know, the timing of the jacket from your father and just how powerful years later, you know, that symbolism and the words that he said, the impact, it's like that, for me, it's like soul language. We all have, you know, imagery and symbols and things that are associated with our soul expression, and that jacket was it. And the power also of the love of your wife, you know, so many people would just walk away then and there. And, you know, it's such a powerful story to say it's really not about the money and the things. It's about the internal life and what's driving you and the power of what you can do with that. I came across you some years ago and you started up a chat in Messenger and you said, hey, please, guys, go and look at this clip on YouTube. And this is when you really got me, because from my perspective, I come from, it's like we have to see that we are soul and energy first and foremost. And that is what turns us into the leaders and how we act and move throughout our physical existence, right? And you were talking about energy in business and the requirement, and I've just gone, this is you speaking my language, and here you are, you know, a hugely successful human being, and you're talking about the importance and necessity of energy in business and marketing and sales. And can you speak into that a little bit, please, David?
Yeah, I think you mentioned this paradigm shift that I went through, understanding that there in everything is energy, and that you talked about this soulful connection. I wrote a book called Compassionate Capitalism that talks about frequency and energy and its relativity to awareness, and that we must, I always say, my frequency is my neighborhood. And
Yeah, I
so
love
when I
that.
started years ago, before it was hip to talk about frequency and energy in business and sales and marketing, and understanding our essence through a frequency or a vibration or energy, when we realize, and what you mentioned earlier that was so significant, is we're having a human experience, and it's bookend by the time your heart starts till the time it stops. And time is something that I study, both physics, quantum physics, even metaphysics, and understanding relativity and time is still something I spend unconditionally each day a minimum amount of time studying. For this reason, is that the most difficult conflict is between infinite time of the soul and the human experience, bookend by the time the heart starts till it stops, divided by the only certainty of the human experience, 24 hours. Everyone on Earth is guaranteed 24 hours a day, every day of their life, except for the last day you will be cheated. And they have a very difficult time reconciling the infinite with this human experience, this fragment, man-made constructed experience. And so for me, understanding how energy plays its role in the infinite led me to understand a shift in a paradigm, because people, I'm 57 years old, and I'm certainly not as strong as I was when I was 25, and I'm not as strong and as fast as most 25-year-olds, but I have more energy. Not because I have more energy, it's I don't interfere with the infinite energy as much as other people. So I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. I've shifted my paradigm. I just want to figure out all day long what I'm doing to interfere with it. I want to spend minutes and moments interfering with it. I want to shorten the distance of resistance that I've created interfering with the infinite in my human experience. Intelligence, infinite. Energy, infinite. Intuition, infinite. Inspiration, infinite. And I just interfere with it less because I understand what it is that interferes with it, which is uncertainty creates a reaction to uncertainty. The ego reacts to fear, which is uncertainty, and we respond to the reaction in the wrong trajectory. And I use wisdom and faith to shorten that distance of resistance, knowing one thing, that we would have no problems, we would have no pain, we would have no struggle if we didn't have a body, if we didn't have a human experience. There'd be no pain, struggle. So therefore, every time there's pain, struggle, mistakes, what setbacks, failures, and pain, the solution is already inside of the problem. And it's just a lapse of time in the human experience until we find what is called the re-solution, the resolution. The solution's already here. So understanding this lapse of time that exists between a solution and a resolution, I shorten the distance of resistance between them, which is by seeking wisdom of people who already are there and asking them for directions and having faith that although there's no evidence that I'll ever find the solution, or even worse, in my bankruptcy, it was contrary evidence that I'll ever find the solution to this problem. I had faith that there is an infinite source, an abundant, unified, infinite source, the more than enough of everything that is constantly protecting me, promoting me, loving me, and perfecting me, not punishing me.
I love that. And I love the way that you say, David, that you're not interfering with it. Because by its very nature, it knows where and how it needs to express and flow. So going from all the self-hatred and all the, it's not my fault, it's not my fault. What do you do on a daily basis? Because there are people out there that go, oh, but my fears and my doubts and my insecurities, I call them false stories and beliefs, because the minute I call them false, I've called them out, right?
Yeah.
So then I just
False
don't give it,
evidence
I
appearing
just don't give
real.
it the energy. Yeah. I feel
False
like
evidence
if
appearing
I called
real.
it my subconscious belief, I'm instilling it has power over me. So what are you doing to just stop, to stop the interference, which creates that, you know, that resistance. What do you do on a daily basis, or do you just make that choice?
Oh, no, it's a daily practice. Yeah. I created five daily habits, and these are essential. And I'd like to offer to your entire community, I will send these five daily practices and my book. I will sign my book. I will send it to you. I'll pay for shipping and the book. Just email me directly. My email's right there, david@dmeltzer.com. Please put it in the notes for everyone. Here's the five daily practices. Number one, know what you want today in the divine direction of where you think you would like to be, and make sure you align the meaning of the past with that divine direction, personally, experientially, giving and receiving, harmoniously utilizing the divine direction. Do not limit yourself by giving the wrong meaning to the setbacks, failures, and mistakes. It'll cast a shadow on your future. Don't limit your imagination. Don't limit your self-image by giving the wrong meaning to the past. Align it in that expansive, accelerated way towards the divine direction you think you want to be in today. Then, because remember, you never will overachieve your own self-image. Two, know your who. Who can help you and who you can help. My daily prayer when I wake up is, may God put at least 10 people in front of me that I can help, and may he put 10 people in front of me that can help me. The fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there and ask them for directions and help someone else get to where they want to be. That's how you'll get to where you want to be or better. Know your what, know your who. The third daily practice is know your how. Understand the 24 hours that you're given every single day. I split my day in half, 12 hours of non-negotiable behavior, minimum of 7 hours of sleep, minimum of 1 hour on my health, minimum of 30 minutes with my family, minimum of time with my faith, minimum of time on my finance, minimum of time studying time, minimum amount of time studying relativity. 12 hours non-negotiable, 7 days a week, no matter what. The other 12 hours are circumstantial, and they'll be prioritized by productivity, accessibility, and gratitude, and the circumstances of the day. So I'll pre-prioritize, prioritize, post-prioritize, which leads me to the fourth daily practice, know my now. The best way that I can define being present is know your now. 100% of the things you do now get done. 100% of the things you do next get done. It is the antidote to procrastination. It's the antidote into being overwhelmed, is understanding our now and our next. In other words, when we know what's important to us, our who, our what, our who, and our how, we prioritize accordingly. It's the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastination. Now, practice number five is the most important. Most people come to me, and I coach some of the biggest CEOs in the world and celebrities, athletes, billionaires, millionaires, and entrepreneurs. Mr. Meltzer, I don't know my why. I don't know my why. Can you help me find my why? And the fifth daily practice is to apply your why. To apply your why, to identify the instant and obvious interference that human beings have with their why. See, you're already connected to and through your why. You're just interfering with it. And so what I want you to do is realize there's an instant and obvious interference. It's called the need to be right, the need to be offended, the need to be separate, the need to be inferior, the need to be superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, worried. There's nobody on earth that gets angry and doesn't know they're angry. You don't need a therapist to tell you you're angry. And so let me just tell you this. The way that we apply our why, or shorten the distance of resistance, or stop interfering with our why, is one action that indicates to me free will. And it's a simple action, but we got to remember that the simple things to do are simple not to do. You got to remember that the only free will we have is when we have an instant and obvious reaction like that, that interferes with our why, is to stop. It sounds easy, but have you ever been in an argument with your spouse and your mouth keeps going, and even though your mind is saying stop, stop, but yet you keep digging yourself deeper and you start hurting each other. And even though your heads, it's not easy. I practice stopping. And then when my mind, body, and soul are on fire, not only do I stop, I drop. I breathe through my nose, I out through my mouth. I drop to center. I call it, I recollect, I remind, I remember with God, with source. I drop down to ease. And now I roll back into the divine direction according to the circumstances that have arisen, the circumstances that created uncertainty, that created fear, and created that disturbing, interfering response to that fear. So now, when my mind, body, and soul are on fire, I go back to what my mom taught me, who told me, when you're on fire, David, all you got to do is stop, drop, and roll into your divine direction by knowing your what, your who, your how, and your now, and applying your why. If you like those five daily practices, I promise you it will change your life. I want to reiterate, they are daily, and they are practices. They are not perfections. They are practices. I am an excellent practitioner. I practice intentionally. That's part of the reason I'm so aligned with Napoleon Hill and its definiteness of purpose in the pursuit of your perfection, not your perfection. In the pursuit, the practice of your perfection. Please email me, david@dmeltzer.com. And I promise you will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun.
We will put all of that, David, and that is so generous. And as you talk about those choices that you're making, which they really are, I could just feel the energy expand. And I know from my own experience that we're creating little wins every time we make a choice like that, because we're choosing ourselves and our souls and our well-being, and we're choosing our lives. And David.
Never stack the L's. Don't stack the L's, right? We're getting all these little wins. When you get an L, I get L's all the time. I just don't stack them. Yep. I double down on the practices when I get an L, when I don't meet my non-negotiables. I don't double L. I'll triple, quadruple W's, but I never double the L's.
Powerful and simple. Like, everything you're talking about is not difficult. It is just that choice to and as you say, do those non-negotiables. David, we will put your email there and your website. And I haven't had your second book, but I've been reading this first one. And, you know, you can see highlighted bits. And I approach a book. I've been in this field a long time. I myself am 60. And I always sit with a book and highlight. I never read it going, oh, yeah, I know that. I know that. Do you know what I mean? Right. I'm just constantly.
I know what you mean.
Repetition. Oh, it's said in a different way. It's the same thing, and it just creates this wholeness. So you've been very generous with your time, David, and I truly do appreciate it. The podcast is called Inner Voice of Knowing. How do you experience your inner voice of knowing, and what kind of part does it play in your life for you?
For me, the modalities that I utilize to have that inner voice is, one, an unwinding routine to utilize my sleep to access the intuition, intelligence, inspiration for the next day, and then utilizing transcendental meditation to transcend that information and inspiration, intuition into my day. And then obviously the stop, drop and roll methodology to get back to center, to allow my essence, my frequency to elevate and to liberate other people to do the same. That's how I listen to and I'm aware of my inner voice.
Thank you so much, David. I really do call and invite all the listeners to go and follow you on all social media. Like I said, this year's experience of dealing with you and your team has really, really shown me that you are the real deal, incredibly authentic. And therefore, listen to those that have the wisdom, that have gone through the challenges and walk the path, and can continue to understand their humanness in amongst their soulfulness. So, David Meltzer, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you. God bless you. And thank you for believing in us.